Almost 11 centuries after the creation of Adam and Eve, Lamech had a son whom he called Noah. Lamech was 182 years old when Noah was born. Methuselah was Noah's grandfather and was a contemporary with Adam for 243 years. Methuselah knew firsthand of the events of the Garden of Eden, of creation, the provisions that God had made, the fall. Lamech, again, the father of Noah, was 56 when Adam died and clearly understood the fall of man and the curse of God. Methuselah and Lamech heard Enoch preach and saw the example of his noble life. Of him it was said in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. All of this must have had a deep impression on Noah, but something terrible happened. Man refused to obey God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Man did only evil continually. They did nothing pure, nothing noble, nothing good, nothing honorable. Man had become a festering sore. The Bible teaches that a man can become so morally reprobate as to go beyond the point of no return. Notice Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. The Hebrew writer gives us this: "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." It's true in this day that you can go so far into sin as to have no way back, to have no conscience with regard to the things of God and to go back to him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Noah was a great man, and he lived in the midst of runaway immorality. Many believe that even his grandfather and father succumbed to this fatal influence. We read about their names, but really nothing about their character. Is it possible to live righteous in the midst of unrighteousness? Think about that for a minute. We have a lot of unrighteousness around us today, and yet we know that it is possible to live in a sea of unrighteousness. But what about during the time of Noah, where every thought of everyone was only evil continually? Daniel, he lived in such an immoral world, as did Abraham, as did Moses, as did Jeremiah, as did Paul and Silas. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2 tells us what man's responsibility is when he is surrounded with evil. "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." God's commands don't change. God still requires it of us to live righteously before him. For a few moments now, we're going to look at the life of Noah and note some things that we ought to emulate ourselves. Noah was a man of courage. Noah was courageous because he stood alone against the world. I don't know how he survived those days. If every thought of man was only evil continually, how did he stand before them and preach to them and survive? I don't know. Perhaps it's something that God did for him. I don't really know. How can you build this big building and people know about what it's for? And people think that you're nuts for having done it because it's never rained. How are you going to get that thing to float if it's never even if there's never even enough water in that part of the world to lift it up? How is that going to happen? People had to be laughing at Noah as he built that thing. And painting tar on the outside of it. God told him to pitch it with pitch. But you know, that stuff is flammable. I can imagine how many times that Noah had to put the fire out and repitch or rebuild. Only evil continually. Noah must have been a man of courage. He had to withstand the influence of his grandfather and father. Too many today are following their family members into wickedness. Noah was courageous because the odds did not stop him. He spoke boldly in God's name. He was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. God spared not the angels that sinned. If that's an example of what went on then, how much more today when we've received so much truth from God? Noah preached many years without a single convert. 100 years, 120 years, I don't know how long it was. Not one convert. In fact, the very people that he had preached to, I am sure were knocking on the outside of the ark, wanting to get in. And I'm sure Noah had incentive to let them in. But God had sealed up the door. God did it himself. They weren't going to be able to get in. They were on the outside. I can only imagine what Noah thought about that. Noah preached many years, not a single convert. Only his family heeded his preaching. Sometimes we think we have it tough. That because we stand up and speak, that people are just clamoring to come down and get in the water, become Christians, that people ought to just be running in here. Now, sometimes we have a climate that makes that so, but for the most of the time of this world's existence, it has not been so. That people are hard-hearted, that people don't want to hear, that people want to be under the influence of a majority rather than the minority, rather than the voice of one crying in the wilderness, rather someone in their family who has taught them all their lives. Noah began, to his eternal credit, that he did not become discouraged. He did not begin to doubt the message. Many become discouraged today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We are not to become weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap if we faint not. Noah kept sowing the seed, but saw it fall only on hard ground. We need to remember that it is God that gives the increase, and not us. Our job is to spread that seed. We may want there to be more people accept the word, but it may not be in our lifetime. We may be preparing for someone else to come and preach the word and have it be accepted widely. Noah kept sowing the seed. We need to remember that God gives the increase, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. It would be great if we could convert the whole world, but Jesus said that there are two gates, one that leads to eternal life and one that leads to destruction. The one leading to eternal life, only a few people are going to get on it. And the rest are on the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus is the one who said that. And so if we think we're doing it wrong because not a lot of people are believing and obeying the gospel, we need to think again. Think again what happened during the preaching of Jesus. Now we know that there were multitudes that did believe, but how many more if we were to think about what we think about today, that so many more ought to be obeying the gospel? We need to be like Noah and do our part and let God take care of the rest. In the midst of wickedness, we must do as Noah did. He preached righteousness. He taught truth. He defended the faith. He sowed the seed. He didn't worry about the results. He left those things to God. Noah was righteous and perfect. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, Moses writes that he was a just man and perfect in his generations. I'm reading from the King James Version. And the word perfect does not mean then as it does now. That's something without flaw. No, generally in the King James Version, perfect means complete. That he is the complete man of God. He was trusting in what the Lord said to him. He was not sinless, but when the Lord said he was doing something wrong, he repented and did things God's way. To be righteous or just is to do what is right. Psalm 119, verse 172. All thy commands are righteousness. All thy commands. You want to know what righteousness is? Look at the commands of God. Many people don't like to look at the commands of God because once they do, they feel the need or the oughtness to do what God says, even when they don't want to do. So they don't look at the commands of God. They bypass those and read part of the story that makes them feel good. But if you want to be righteous, you have to take it to the commands. What did the Lord tell us to do? Those things are what Noah was about. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Noah was perfect, not sinless. He was blameless. How was Jesus made perfect? Jesus was made perfect by obedience. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We see the example of Jesus. God sent him to the cross. He went. Therefore, God gave him authority. He became the author or source of eternal salvation to a certain class of people. Noah would have been in that class of people. All them that obey him. We may find ourselves in a situation where we're just a little bit not respectful of God, just a little bit rebellious. People like rebellious people. Have you ever noticed that? You go to the movies and there's this person that's not going to take it anymore. And they idolize that person to where you want to be like that person, a rebellious individual. Now, when it's before God, that's not something we can do. Not and be righteous, not and be just. We have to follow God's commands. But people want to stir things up. They want to do it their own way and call it good. Noah was perfect. He obeyed God. He walked with God. Noah lived by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, that whole of the book of Hebrews 11, that chapter, is about faith. If you want to know what faith is, we often call this the hall of faith. It shows you what faith looks like. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We modern people do things in such big ways, don't we? We're proud of ourselves for how much we can do in this day and time, that we've progressed beyond those ancients, which must be, by comparison, stupid. That's repeated often in our day and time. But look at what Noah did. By faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. So he must have heard it from God. He certainly did. Noah, you are to build an ark to the saving of your family and to the biology of this planet. You are to do exactly as I say. You are to build it this high, this wide, this long, and you do it with the materials that I tell you to do it with. Noah didn't say, you know, it would be better if, or I think. Noah said, yes, Lord, and got busy doing what God says. That's acting by faith. That's living by faith. Now, it was an immense thing to do, wasn't it? Can you imagine being given those instructions? And it's got a deadline. You know, Noah, it's going to rain. You've never seen rain, but you don't want to see it without this ark. You don't want to see it without it being built. And so Noah begins to build the ark. I am sure receives help from God in many ways, probably from his sons, maybe some people he hired. I don't know how he got it all done, how he engineered it. God told him what to do, and he did it. He lived by faith. He was moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. Action describes the faith of Noah. He had action. God told him. He did what God told him. If Noah would not have been a man of action, he would not have been a man of faith. And I want you to stop and think for a minute. What would have happened if Noah had bogged himself down in the philosophies of men? Oh, God didn't really mean that. God didn't really want me to obey that. He was just giving me an example of how to live and didn't really expect me to go to all that trouble. Imagine where you would be right now. You would be non-existent because the whole world counted on Noah obeying God for existence. That Noah did what God said is proved by we sitting in these pews this very night and by this planet being populated. It's populated today because of Noah. If Noah would not have been a man of action, he would not have been a man of faith. Faith must obey. Vain faith, useless, empty faith, does not obey. James talks about that in James chapter 2 and verse 22, verse 24 as well. He writes, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." Then in verse 24, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." You can say how faithful you are and how much faith you have all day long, but without doing the things you've been told to do, it's just all empty, useless. It's just talk. Just talk. How vile those words are. It's just talk. Nothing will ever come of it. Noah lived by faith. We understand that faith comes from God having given the instruction. We understand that those things must be obeyed. Faith produces works of obedience. No man was ever blessed on account of his faith until that faith manifested itself in acts of obedience. Noah had godly fear. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says that Noah moved with godly fear. This is another thing that moved Noah to obey. Noah was one who knew the majesty of God and knew he was to be revered or reverenced in godly fear. To be godly means to love God, to be a follower of God, to emulate God in every way that we possibly can. To have godly fear means to have respect and reverence for God, being unwilling to do anything that would cause God to be displeased. When we learn the character of God, when we know what He's about, when we know how holy He is, when we know all these things, some of which it comes through His Son, some comes through the history that we have of the Old Testament. When we understand the person of God, we simply won't be willing to do things that will cause Him to be dismayed at our actions. We will refuse to do those things. Noah moved with godly fear, was not willing for God to be distressed at his life. So Noah obeyed God. Obedience is the one word that best describes Noah's life. God said, "Man is about to die. I want you saved. But in order to get there, you've got to build this thing." And Noah stopped what he was doing and began to build, following God's instructions, seeking God's guidance. One cannot be courageous, just, faithful, and have godly fear unless they are obedient. God told Noah to build an ark and gave him exact dimensions and a list of materials to be used. Noah was given a pattern and he obeyed, plain and simple. Conversely, we are given a pattern, what to do to be saved. We are given a pattern as to how to live our days here on this earth. To emulate Noah, to emulate Christ himself, the apostles, and all that we know that have followed Christ's way in our past, we simply must be obedient. We must look for the pattern, believe it and obey it, and live our lives according to it. Today we've been given the dimensions and materials to be used and the present day ark of safety. That is the church that Jesus built. How is it to be constructed? What is it to be made of? How are we to take care of it? What would have happened to Noah's ark had he not obeyed God's plan? I'm certain it would have sunk to the bottom. It would have never lifted above the earth. He had to obey God's commands. What happens when we don't obey God's commands with regard to our salvation? If we simply do it our way. In spiritual matters, does our way ever work? The only way that we can be sure of, can be safe in, is God's way. He tells us how to do it, and if we want to be saved, we simply have to obey the commands. Today, if we do not build the ark of safety according to God's pattern, it too will sink. Noah was saved through his obedience, and so will we be. Noah is an example for all of us to emulate. We need to be like Noah. God gave commands to this man, and his genius was that he said, "Lord, what do you want? And that I'll do." He obeyed the things that God gave him. He was courageous. He was righteous. He was faithful. He was full of godly fear. He was obedient. Now, why do you think God spent so much time on various men in the Old Testament? He spent more time on Noah than he did on Adam. He spent more time on Abraham, the friend of God, than he did many others. It's because we need those examples. God is teaching us about faith, because when we get to the New Testament, we are to live by faith. The entire planet is charged that we are to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Let's all strive to be more like Noah. This is the time to think about those things. I could say that any time of the day or night, but especially this time, as we consider what we're going to plan to do for another year, let's look to Noah. What kind of resolve did he have? He had a great resolve. In fact, he finished that ark to the saving of his house. He finished that ark to the saving of the human race. We ought to look to him. Look to him as to what faith looks like. There may be someone here this very hour that needs to obey the commands that God has given you. You've never been baptized for the remission of sins. Maybe you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but you you may have repented of your sins. But God tells us we must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. And you have the opportunity tonight to obey those commands and to leave this place a Christian, a child of God, obedient like Noah. And if we can assist you with that, don't waste time getting down here. There may be someone here tonight that has once gone that good way, but you're off track. You need to ask God for forgiveness. You're committing sin because of rebelliousness. Don't waste another minute in living a life that will not be respected by God or man 5 minutes after you're dead. Get on the track. Press toward the mark. It's time to do things God's way. Ask God for forgiveness. He's promised to forgive. And if it's a public matter, make it known publicly that you've repented so that we can pray with you and remain in fellowship with you. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?
Are you?